Today we are in 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, and this is our 22nd study in 2 Chronicles. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And a bit of a breath of fresh spiritual air after chapter 28. It says, Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. David seems to have set the standard for the good kings, by the way, because he is mentioned an awful lot in comparison to them. And of course, David was far from perfect, and yet the important thing about him is that he had a heart for God. 3. In the first month of the first year of his reign, he opened the doors of the temple of the Lord and repaired them. His terrible father, Ahaz, remember, had shut down the temple operation. But Hezekiah doesn't waste any time opening it back up. That was like his first order of business. Verse 4, he brought in the priests and the Levites, assembled them in the square on the east side, and said, "Listen to me, Levites, consecrate yourselves now and consecrate the temple of the Lord, the God of your fathers. Remove all defilement from the sanctuary." First order of business, the Levites and the priests had to cleanse themselves and also the temple, which had been defiled in so many hideous ways by Ahaz, the previous king, and all the idolatry that went on under his reign. 6. Our fathers were unfaithful. They did evil in the eyes of the Lord our God and forsook him. They turned their faces away from the Lord's dwelling place and turned their backs on him. And so we can see that Hezekiah confesses the sin of his father and others who had allowed the temple to be defiled and who had committed such grievous sins against the Lord God. It says in verse 7, they also shut the doors of the portico and put out the lamps. They did not burn incense or present any burnt offerings at the sanctuary to the God of Israel. And so the previous generation had sinned by the bad that they did and by the good that they failed to do. The God-ordained religion, which was given to Israel on Mount Sinai, had been shut down. Verse 8, therefore, the anger of the Lord has fallen on Judah and Jerusalem. He has made them an object of dread and horror and scorn, as you can see with your own eyes. The nation was weak, and the nation was full of trouble, not because God turned his back on them, but because they turned their backs on God. Verse 9 says, this is why our fathers have fallen by the sword, and why our sons and daughters and our wives are in captivity. And you may remember from our last study, 120,000 soldiers from Judah, good ones, dead in one day, and thousands of innocent women and children taken captive. And so Hezekiah is reminding everyone that they had not gotten away with their rebellion against God. There's a price to pay for sin. 10. Now I intend to make a covenant with the Lord, the God of Israel, so that his fierce anger will turn away from us. And Hezekiah was a smart man. He knew that the only way to turn the anger of God away from them in Judah would be to repent, and that's what he intended on doing. And he intended on leading the country in repentance as well. 11. My sons, do not neglect now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him and serve him, to minister before him and to burn incense. And the priest had been guilty of sins of omission. Maybe they were not into idolatry, but they were neglecting their spiritual service to the people. Not doing right is just as bad as doing wrong. Verses 12 through 14 just list the names of the Levites who got busy. So let's skip down to verse 15. It says, when they had assembled their brothers and consecrated themselves, they went in to purify the temple of the Lord, as the king had ordered. following the word of the Lord. The king's commands were right out of the word of God. And he followed the word of the Lord when he gave his commands. And I don't care who it is that's commanding. If it's not backed by Scripture, it should not be obeyed. If it is backed by Scripture, well then, the ultimate authority for that command is God, not the person who is given it, and it should be followed. 16. The priests went into the sanctuary of the Lord to purify it. They brought out to the courtyard of the Lord's temple everything unclean that they found in the temple of the Lord. The Levites took it and carried it out to the Kidron Valley. And remember, Ahaz had worshipped idols in the holy temple. Well, these priests and Levites went into the sanctuary and cleaned house. 17. They began the consecration on the first day of the first month, and by the eighth day of the month, they reached the portico of the Lord. For 8 more days they consecrated the temple of the Lord itself, finishing on the 16th day of the first month. And so it took several days to remove all the filth, the moral and spiritual filth, from the courts and from the temple itself. The place really was a mess. And it says in verse 18, then they went into the king Hezekiah, and reported, "We have purified the entire temple of the Lord, the altar of burnt offerings with all its utensils, and the table for setting out the consecrated bread with all of its articles." And none of those holy things, of course, had been used for years. 19. We have prepared and consecrated all the articles that King Ahaz removed in his unfaithfulness while he was king. They are now in front of the Lord's altar. And so the temple was cleansed, repaired, and ready to go. That was the report to good King Hezekiah. Early the next morning, verse 20 says, King Hezekiah gathered the city officials together and went up to the temple of the Lord. Hezekiah had a zeal for God. So he and the representatives of all the people go to the temple early in the morning to get the formal worship of God going once again. Verse 21. They brought 7 bulls, 7 rams, 7 male lambs, and 7 male he-goats as a sin offering for the kingdom, for the sanctuary, and for Judah. And the king commanded the priests, the descendants of Aaron, to offer these on the altar of the Lord. 7, of course, is a sacred number in Scripture. And these offerings were to make atonement for the past idolatry of the nation. Verse 22, it says, so they slaughtered the bulls, and the priest took the blood and sprinkled it on the altar. Next they slaughtered the rams and sprinkled their blood on the altar. Then they slaughtered the lambs and sprinkled their blood on the altar. And so the ritual of sacrifices, as we know from the book of Leviticus, our study in that book, called for the blood to be sprinkled on the altar. So they're going according to the book. They're doing the best they can. 23. The goats for the sin offering were brought before the king and the assembly, and they laid their hands on them. The king and the assembly laid their hands on the sacrifices, which symbolized that the offerings were for the entire nation. 24. The priests then slaughtered the goats and presented their blood on the altar for a sin offering to atone for all Israel, because the king had ordered the burnt offering and the sin offering for all Israel. The animals were offered for the purification of the sins of the entire nation. 25. He stationed the Levites in the temple of the Lord with cymbals, harps, and lyres in the way prescribed by David and Gad, the king's seer, and Nathan the prophet. This was commanded by the Lord through his prophets. And so Hezekiah is doing his very best to make sure the operations of the temple were being done just as the prophets told King David years earlier that they should be done. 26. So the Levites stood ready with David's instruments, and the priests with their trumpets. God likes good music. He likes to be worshipped with music. And so this was a part of the temple operations as well. Verse 27. Hezekiah gave the order to sacrifice the burnt offering on the altar. As the offering began, singing to the Lord began also, accompanied by trumpets and the instruments of David, king of Israel. And so this was a reverent time, but it was also a time of celebration. Verse 28, the whole assembly bowed in worship, while the singers sang and the trumpeters played. All this continued until the sacrifice of the burnt offering was completed. And so everyone worshipped God. This was a great time because they had repented and their sins were atoned for. Everybody is happy. And you see this same sort of thing throughout Israel's history when they were walking with the Lord. And it's the same in the life of a believer, isn't it? When you're walking with the Lord, there's nothing better. 29, when the offerings were finished, the king and everyone present with him, knelt down and worshipped. Well, the sacrifices and the worship, it was followed by prayer, and the king was leading the way. 30, King Hezekiah and his officials ordered the Levites to praise the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with gladness and bowed their heads and worshipped. And the words of David here refer to Holy Scripture, the Psalms. They were, of course, many of them, written by David. And so this worship service included singing the Psalms, the book of the Psalms, to God. And that's a great way to pray and a great way to worship today. Verse 31. It says, Then Hezekiah said, You have now dedicated yourself to the Lord. Come and bring sacrifices and thank offerings to the temple of the Lord. So the assembly brought sacrifices and thank offerings, and all whose hearts were willing brought burnt offerings. The previous offerings, earlier in this chapter, were brought by the king. Now it was the people's turn, and they also brought sacrifices to God. It says in verse 32, the number of burnt offerings the assembly brought was 70 bulls, 100 rams, 200 male lambs, all of them for burnt offerings to the Lord. And so these were presented by the rulers of the people for the entire nation. So by representation, the entire nation is repenting and is taking part in this worship of God. 33, the animals consecrated as sacrifices amounted to 600 bulls, 3,000 sheep and goats. And so the consecrated animals spoken of here in verse 33 were thank offerings. 34, the priests, however, were too few to skin all the burnt offerings, so the kinsmen, their kinsmen, the Levites, helped them until the task was finished and until other priests had been consecrated. For the Levites had been more conscientious in consecrating themselves than the priest had been. A priest had to be somewhat of a meat cutter back in those days. The sacrifices were God's, and therefore they were holy. And as a result, only the consecrated priest could handle the meat. But as often is the case, an exception was made to the letter of the law, and the consecrated priest were actually helped out by the consecrated Levites. They were allowed to help. It was an emergency, and there was no other way. Excuse me, 35. There were burnt offerings in abundance, together with the fat of the fellowship offerings and the drink offerings that accompanied the burnt offerings. And so the service of the temple of the Lord was reestablished, and the temple was officially reopened for business, for the worship and the service of Almighty God. And 36 says, Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced at what God had brought about for his people, because it was done so quickly. The people chose to repent and restore the worship of God. It was a choice. They made a choice, and of course Hezekiah spearheaded the whole operation. But did you notice how everyone gives God the credit for it happening? And there's a good lesson. Jesus said it. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And apart from the enabling grace of God, we could do nothing right. Next time, chapter 30. Until then, so long, everyone.